Welcome to Perspectives, brought to you by Physicians Practice. I'm Drew Boxler, editor of Physicians Practice. Every 2 weeks, we explore key areas of a successful, thriving, independent practice. We'll hear from experts in the industry regarding best practices for billing and collections, answer your top coding questions, analyze current legal trends, malpractice landmines to avoid, and look at the hottest tech innovations to increase productivity and enhance the patient experience. Let's get started. Medical claims denials are arguably one of the most challenging aspects of running an independent practice. Opposed to a claims rejection, which is usually caused by a failure to meet particular criteria like data requirements and formatting, a claims denial has received a negative determination after the claim has been received and processed by the payer. In today's episode of Perspectives, you'll hear from Terry Blessing III, Senior Vice President of Client Development at VisiQuate, a user-friendly end-to-end revenue cycle management and analytics solutions company, as he discusses his top tips and tricks for reducing the likelihood of claims denials in your practice.
Today we want to talk about avoiding claim denials. I think there are a couple of key points that we want to get to. Number one, right out of the chute, we want to get into the details. Denial type is going to be a really important thing to understand. Was our denial a medical necessity type denial, authorization type denial, or a claim form issue where someone misprinted or put an invalid entry into a claim form? I think that's going to be a big place for us to start. Second of all, we want to work right through into kind of a root cause of what those denial types are. So whose process needs to change in order for us to not get the same denial again? Is that denial coming from a person, someone's action, like something that's happening in the billing process or the registration process or authorization process? Or is it a technology thing? Has something happened in one of your billing scrubbers that is causing this claim to go out in a format that doesn't necessarily lend itself to being paid on the first pass by the payer? Speaking of payer, our next kind of subtopic is going to be payer mix. So understanding how each of the payers are using those CART codes and remark codes or CAS code remark codes in combination will help you get to the root cause and be able to identify process gaps within your organization. So that being said, don't be afraid after we've identified denial type, root cause, and payer mix to spend some time sampling. Take someone who has experience and has worked denials for a longer period of time and understands them, and have them sample certain portions of your business that you've identified have a high denial rate. Once you have that sampling completed, you then have the opportunity to move forward and maybe apply some general assumptions to other books of business that represent the same type of denial. And you can start to make process adjustments accordingly to help avoid those claim denials down the road. After sampling, we want to take that information and we want to look upstream. So how far upstream can we make a process change that's going to positively impact our initial claim denial rate? So can we offer additional training to a representative that's maybe getting authorizations or working on billing? Can we put an edit into our editing system so that a claim doesn't go out the door without the appropriate information either being attached or being on the claim form or associated with a loop and segment that's in our billing scrubber? And have we reviewed the payer contracts? Do we understand what each of our payers are doing for the services that we're providing? And are there any carve-outs, anything that we're not supposed to be being reimbursed for? If that's the case, we want to take those claim denials. We want to make sure that we are informing our staff of those situations so that they're not spending time on denials that don't bear fruit or have the ability to be overturned long-term for the organization and for your practice. One big point, not our last point, but a big point is that you should be aware of your payer code of regulations within your state. Each state has a payer code of regulations, and it will provide you with things like claim adjudication response times, appeal adjudication response times, credit balance and refund timeframes. And one thing that that organizations tend to forget is that the payer code of regulations in your state supersedes all payer contracts when you're talking about timeframes for adjudication and refund specifically. So get to know that payer code of regulations, be involved at the regulatory and legislative levels so that you can help make changes if it doesn't help you the way that it needs to. Last but certainly not least, when we're talking about potential litigation or legislative issues, we want to try and work in bulk. So once we find a trend based on our sampling, we want to try and apply that trend across as many accounts as possible, and then look for opportunities, whether it's denials, rejections, or underpayments, that we can take to our JOC meetings, meet with our payers, and have them resolve those issues in bulk so that we don't have to individually assign those claims or issues to our staff. So work in a large setting. That way as well, you have documentation. If litigation becomes an opportunity, you wanna make sure that you have all of your accounts in one place so that you can talk to the payer about what needs to be rectified.
Regarding a hospital or health system versus an independent practice, Terry says that the complexity of the treatment you are providing is more likely the determining factor on your chances of a denial.
I would say that whether you're an independent practice or you're associated with some sort of larger organization, mm-hmm. I think the complexity of the service that you're providing is probably going to be the determining factor on the chances of a denial. Mm-hmm. And part of that becomes cost. So a lot of payers, when they see high dollar interactions, mm-hmm. they tend to look at those more, right? They're more scrutinizing around what they should or should not pay based on those services that were provided. So I would just say that the complexity becomes very, very evident. I know that when we start to get into radiology or anesthesiology or some of those other big high dollar procedures, they become very, very aware of what is in their contract with you specifically, mm-hmm. So that they can pay as little as they need to.
Terry says that there are some common trends with independent practice claims denials that he has experienced in his role.
One of the most common trends that we see is a visit downgrade, so an E&M downgrade. Okay. Payers tend to take that E&M that's assigned the level, mm-hmm. and they will pay the claim, but they'll pay it at a reduced level. Mm-hmm. So it's we call it a delay tactic, because we should be able to justify through the patient record and the things that the provider is putting on the patient record the level of service that we billed for, but the payer is saying, oh, well, we're going to pay you at a level 3 instead of a level 4 so that we can say that we paid you, but make you come back and spend more time to prove that you were actually a level 4 in order to get those additional dollars.
Terry says that there are some tools and tactics that he would recommend for practices to reduce their likelihood of encountering a denied claim.
Yeah, so I think the biggest time should be spent in your editing software. So your claim scrubber, those kinds of things, because as a claim goes through the life cycle, the longer it has been initially billed and you're trying to recover additional dollars, the less likely you are to actually get those dollars. So if you can stop your scrubber and editing tools, you are light years ahead, rather than trying to have to go back after a denial or a subsequent denial or work through the appeals process. It just, the dollars do not move near as quickly if you're in that space of post-billing, denial, or appeals.
Thanks again for taking the time to speak with me, Terry. And thank you all for listening to Perspectives, brought to you by Physicians Practice. We hope you subscribe or listen to podcasts, rate us, and let us know what topics you would like to hear more about. For more practice management insights from the top experts in the field, be sure to visit us at physicianspractice.com and sign up for our newsletter.